Good morning, church. Good to be with all of you this morning. What a beautiful morning it's been. It's been beautiful the last few days, has it not? Beautiful out there. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I've said this many a time, and I want you to understand this whenever I say this. I don't read my lesson for the week or Bible lesson for the week or the teaching. And the reason I don't do it is because I want the Lord to show me what He wants me to preach on, you know? Well, this morning, I'm going to be pretty much on the same subject that we taught about this morning. I'm going to go a little bit in depth with it, maybe a little bit more deeper with it, but I praise God that He knows what He's doing when I don't. Amen? I praise God. If you would, I'm going to be over in Luke 17, 28 through 32, and I think we've got it, if they want to put it up there on the overhead this morning. When you get there, if you're able this morning, let's stand. Luke 17, verses 28 through 32. It goes like this. Likewise also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And this is the verse I want to concentrate on this morning, just one little verse. Remember Lot's wife. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit, but I want you to concentrate on that and mark on that because this is very important. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, again. Father, I want to praise you for another beautiful morning. I want to praise you for this Sunday that you've given us, Lord. Another day that we can come back to your house, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would open up my mouth this morning, Lord. Again, as I always ask, get me out of the way, Lord. I pray for the anointing. And I pray, Father, that also, Lord, that we'd open up hearts here this morning. And, Lord, we'll give you the praise for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we look at chapter 17, and we look at the first part of this. We find the disciples had come to Jesus. This is what this is about. And they've asked him, what would be the signs? What would be the signs at the events of the last events of this earth? And Jesus answered them with these verses that I read to you here this morning. And again, I want to concentrate on verse 32, but it's cryptic and it's blunt. What it's saying is, you know, it laid out to the disciples, remember Lot's wife. Now, this is the only, now I couldn't find any, maybe you can, this is the only instance where he directly instructs his listeners to focus on one individual just like this. I couldn't find, I mean, he mentioned other people in the Bible, don't get me wrong, but he said specifically, remember Lot's wife. That's what he wanted us to focus on. Now, what does she have to do with the end times? What does Lot's wife have to do with the end times? And about us listening to it this morning, what the warning that he's wanting to give us. After all, we don't even know her name. I mean, it may be out in Jewish history somewhere, but it's not mentioned in the Bible. It just simply states, remember Lot's wife. And Jesus used this as a warning, as what he was saying. And the warning that he was giving to his listeners back then is the same warning that he's giving to them at that time, and he's giving to us now. Why? In the scripture says us, Why did she perish? Why was it important enough of a lesson for him to specifically say it out loud? Remember Lot's wife. Why? Why was that? I believe if we look at the scriptures over in Genesis, which we're going to turn there and look to, if you want to go over there, I'm going to be in chapters 18 and 19 of Genesis. If you want to turn over that way, you'll see some points of why he was giving us this warning about her. Now, I'm not specifically going to get into Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know the history of that. But I want to talk about why he said, remember Lot's wife. Why? First off, I want to tell you something right now. Just because you have somebody that's a Christian in this in your family, and I've said this many times, but I want you to understand this. Just because someone's a Christian in your family doesn't make you a Christian, right? I think we all understand that. That is something that all has to be personally, we personally have to accept Jesus as our Savior. Every individual in here, I don't care how young or old you are, Just because grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and aunt and uncles were Christians does not automatically make you a Christian. Now, one thing it does do, and I can guarantee, they will pray for you. Now, listen, Lot's wife had somebody praying for her. You do know that, don't you? Greg had mentioned it a little bit earlier this morning. And she was Abraham's niece. That's who she was. And remember Abraham in chapter 18 was asking about when the angels come. They had their face turned towards Sodom and Gomorrah. They were going there to destroy that city. They were going to find out what was going on for sure. And he did a countdown. And Abraham asked him, said, "You won't destroy it if there's at least 50 there. You won't destroy it if there's at least 45 there." And he goes right on down, just like it's been said here this morning. He said, "Pre-adventure, would you not destroy it?" And I'll just read, "What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Well, guess what happened? He couldn't even find 10 there that were righteous. Couldn't even do that. He ended up destroying it. Yet she perished, even though she had someone praying for her, even though that she perished just because someone is in your family. And can I say this? Prayer is powerful. But just because someone is even praying for you, listen to me, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior. You have to understand that you are being under conviction by the Holy Spirit. You have to understand that. I say this, and I hope you honestly understand that. Just because you come up here and shake my hand or anybody else's hand, it doesn't make you a Christian. If you accept Jesus into your heart and the Holy Spirit comes into you, that makes you a Christian. That makes you one. Listen, it's a personal relationship with Jesus. Can I have an amen? It's personal. It's one-on-one. I am thankful here this morning that I can go to the throne of grace for myself. I appreciate everyone in here that prays for me. I really do. But praise God, I'm thankful that I can go and get a hold of the throne of God for myself here this morning. I'm thankful for that. It's personal. And let me give you some scripture in Luke 17, 34, 35 through 36. Listen to this scripture here. "I tell you, that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other left, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left." What's that tell you? They were standing beside of a Christian. They were right there with them. They may have heard the word. They may have heard the scripture, the gospel of Jesus. But listen, just because they were standing with them, when Jesus wants to take them, they took them. And the other one was left. So get that point across. That's one of the things I want you to understand about Lot's wife. Listen, a personal eternal destiny is not determined by being close to those who are righteous. It is up to you. Each person will stand before God on their own account one day. Sometimes I wonder about this sometimes, because sometimes I think that, you know, kids think, well, just because my parents went to church all these years and I grew up in church, that I'm fine. That's not the way that it works. Salvation comes to those, brothers and sisters, who are born again, bought by the blood of Jesus, and have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, let's look at some other things in Genesis about where they give us this warning about Lot's wife. In Genesis chapter 19, I'm going to read some scripture here, 14 through 17, when it says this. "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law." Now listen, I'm going to tell you, you could be sitting here this morning, and I don't know your heart, I don't know where you are, but I want to tell you something. He went out and his son-in-laws were out there, and he tried to tell them they need to get out of this place. He needed to try to warn them. And you know, it seemed as one who mocked. You know what that means? It seemed like they were making fun of him for what he was saying is what was happening. And verse 15 goes on to say this. "And when the morning arose, when the angel hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered," get that, "the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, listen to these verses, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, in those scriptures right there, the angels give her, I'm going to say just use Lot, but he give all of them three warnings. He told them three different things. And I want you to understand, those three warnings are for everybody in this church, for everybody out here in the world. There's three warnings that he give them. And he said, he told her, she was warned of an impending danger. He said, get out of the city. And another thing he told her, don't look back. Lest thou be what? Be consumed. Then he told her, he gave her directions. He said, listen, he said, you must escape. Don't stay in a plain. He said, you escape to the mountain. And she was told to be diligent in following these orders. He said, and they were hesitant. Remember I told you that when it talked about Lot, he said he was hesitant. The angel grabbed it. He said, he told them to be diligent about what you're doing, or you do it like your life depends upon it. Escape for thy life. And Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us today, why did he say, remember Lot's wife? Because I believe all those things apply to everybody out here today. They apply to each and every one of us. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says this about the scripture. Lest anybody think that the Old Testament don't apply to you, lest anybody think that no scripture applies to you. It says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Mark that in your Bibles. It didn't say some of it. It said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what it says. I don't stand up here to try to preach to you every week and try to give you my opinions. I try to give you what God's Word says. Why? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Don't ever let that be lost upon you. Don't let anybody ever tell you, well, this right here was for this and this was. No, it's not. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How do each of these points apply to us today? And I got to writing this down. I said, she was made fully aware of the danger that she was in, lest thou be consumed. Jesus, when in the scriptures, in the gospels, give us several warnings, did he not? To make everyone aware of what they're facing, if they don't heed to his warnings. Not mine, to his warnings. In Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus said this, and whosoever thou shalt confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But then he goes on to say, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now I'm going to tell you something. When I'm standing there one of these days, I want Jesus on my side. How about you? I want the one that died for me. We just celebrate and rose again. Brothers, I want him there as my advocate. I love all of you, but I don't want Ali to stand there talking for me. I don't want Jamie standing there talking for me. I don't want my wife standing there talking for me. I want the one who died and rose again and shed his blood. Now listen, I want to confess him every time I get a chance to somebody out here in this world. Now, don't say this. Don't say, well, you know, I don't know. I'm very shy. I'm this, I'm that. I understand that. But brother, when you get the chance, you need to confess him as your Savior before a lost and a dying world. Then he goes on to say in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein thereat. And it goes on to say, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. That's always been very shocking scripture to me. I don't know about you. But you know what? Few be there that find it. That just gives you a totality of what's going on in this world today. Few there be that find it. Few. But brothers and sisters, if you're saved today, you need to be shouting the house down. John 3:18, Jesus said, "And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now there's four words at the end of that verse right there. The only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. There's only one. And you've got to believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's given us warnings. Other scriptures in the New Testament. Revelations 20:15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I hope everybody in here understands that hell's not your final destination. Do you understand? If you're lost in here this morning, hell's not your final destination. The Bible says that death, hell, and the grave are going to be cast where? Into the lake of fire. One day, if you're sitting in here this morning, and this is a warning, and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, hell is not your final destination, but the lake of fire is. And it'll be worse. Understand that. Hebrews 10:26. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth." I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm going to give you the knowledge of the truth right now. Jesus died for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. It's not his will that any would be lost. If you go out of this world lost and undone, you go and you step over the blood of Jesus. You step over the work that was done on the cross. That's you. Knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sin. Nothing else will do it. I don't care how many Hail Marys you do. I don't care how much you get baptized. I don't care how much you shake my hand. I don't care how much money you put in the offering plate. Nothing matters except knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Nothing matters. Nothing at all. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through" who? "Jesus Christ our Lord." You want eternal life? You want eternal life? Now listen, I want everybody to understand this too. Everybody has eternal life. Do you know that? Everybody does. Your destination is one place or the other. It's either hell or heaven. But if you want an eternal life with Jesus in heaven, you've got to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth. Amen. The Bible is full of warnings. Lot's wife had warning. She had warnings. But she chose to ignore those warnings, some of those warnings. Listen, you got the chance here this morning. Everybody here this morning. You have the chance to hear these warnings, and you have the chance this morning. Well, you still have breath in your life. You have that chance. This altar is open here after a while. This altar is open now if you feel led to come. But listen to me, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior. The Bible's full of warnings. Luke 8:17 tells us of this. "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad." You know what that's telling me and you? Everything that happened from the cross right on through has been made public to everybody. Everybody knows it. Everybody should. And we can go out and we can tell a lost and a dying world. They know it. And brother, you're not going to stand on this one day that you know I never heard it. You're not going to stand that way. These warnings are there for everyone to see. Every one of them. Lot's wife was warned. Another thing about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah that God had showed me and I wrote it down, that fits perfectly into today's society, the mocking of impending judgment. People think it's a joke. People think it's a joke, and they'll say, "Yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard that before." Listen, it was 4,000 years, according to the Jewish calendar, from the time that God created that man on this earth until Jesus come upon the scene. It's been roughly 2,000 years since he died on the cross, and he told us he's coming back again. I say we're still in the time frame, don't you think so? We're in plenty of that. I mean, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I cannot say. I would never stand up here and say that because it said no man knoweth the hour. But I'm telling you one thing. I think it could become any day. I think it could happen any day. Listen, the people think it's a joke. Lot went out and he spoke to his son-in-laws and he told them about the impending judgment. And he said it seemed to be the one that mocked. Listen to me. You go out here and you talk to people about Jesus and you will see sometimes people will mock it. And you know what? They may not even do it to your face. I've even had people come back and say, well, you know, you said that, and then these people are blah, blah, blah. You know, I understand all that. I understand it. But you know what? It still doesn't stop us from talking about Jesus to a lost and dying world. People may mock you. They may make fun of you. They may do all manner of things. But I'm telling you that they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear it. Peter said this about the mockers in the last day. Actually, there more than mocking will take place. It's a strong sign that the end times are close. When you hear people mocking, 2 Peter 3 through 13, I'll read it all. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is it? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they willingly are ignorant that by the word of the God of the heavens of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same words, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not arrogant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know why Jesus hadn't come back yet? Because there's one soul out there left to be saved. Amen? There's going to come a time when the last soul will be saved. And guess what's going to happen? I believe that the trumpet's going to sound, and I believe that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then I believe that us who are left and remain will be called up together to be with the Lord forever. Whenever that last thing happens, I'm here to tell you that's going to be it. That'll be it. And I'm here. I can't tell you when. I don't know how. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. I don't know what. But I can tell you it could be any minute. It could do that. Now, another thing, remembering Lot's wife, the direction she must take. Listen, he told her to escape to the mountains. You know what the mountain is to us? That's Calvary. Amen? We are to escape to Calvary, brothers and sisters. That's where our refuge is. God's word tells us we can escape the impending danger. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it goes on to say that Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I tell you something? Right here is our way of escape. Amen? That is our way of escape. That's our way to get out of this world and the impending danger and the impending doom that's coming upon this world. I remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And what did it say? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they come into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded that the chariots to stand still, and they down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Amen? What hinders you this morning? Is there anything hindering your heart here this morning? Listen, if it is, it's doubt. And it's and all the things that this world wants to throw upon you. Can I tell you this morning, salvation is here for you. Amen. You could be like this. You could come and say, do you believe? Come up here and give it to Jesus this morning. Give it all to him. You know what the problem I think with some people is? They don't give it all. They want to take a little bit back with them. Amen? He said he wants it all. All of it. Praise his name this morning. Lot's wife heard, the angels told Lot's wife to head to the mountain for escape. God tells us today to look to Calvary's mountain for our escape, to look to what happened on Calvary, on the cross so many years ago. God tells us to look to that. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, they crucified him there. Who is our own self-bearer, our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live into righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed? By his stripes, you and I can have healing of sin sickness in our life. There's so much more that goes into those stripes that were put upon his back that day. Listen to me, we can have that. You could have it this morning if God is knocking upon your heart. She was told the destination that she should go, and she didn't do it. I'm telling you here this morning, I'm pointing you towards Calvary this morning. I'm pointing you towards the one that paid the ultimate price for you and me this morning. That's who I'm pointing you to. And another thing that she did, I told you she wasn't diligent. The scripture says she was to escape as if her life depended on it. Now, you can sit here this morning and think, well, I've got a more, be like some other ones in the Bible I'm going to read about here in a little bit, that like a more convenient season. You could say that in your life, or when I get older, or whenever this happens in my life, whenever that happens. Can I tell you something? You are not guaranteed that you will take one more breath. You're not guaranteed. My Bible tells me it's appointed unto a man to die and then to judgment. I don't know when your appointment is. My appointment could be today. My appointment may be for 30 years from now. Your appointment may be today. I say this quite often. I've used this example because it's a true story. My old pastor at 14th Avenue, Danny Jeffries, his dad was a preacher before Danny. And I told this story all the time. Danny's father was up here preaching. He was in a pulpit preaching one time. And he always taped his sermons on an old cassette tape. I don't know if you remember those things or not. But he would record his sermons. And he went down off the pulpit that morning, went down to hit the off button on a cassette tape, and he died of a heart attack right there in the church that morning. It doesn't make no difference. You're not guaranteed another breath. I had friends in high school, close friends, that died in a car wreck in their senior year in high school. It's not no guarantee that life will be that. And today is the day of salvation. And listen, she to get out of there like her life depended on it. But what did they do in Genesis 19:16? I read it to you earlier. And while he lingered, while Lot lingered and the men laid hold upon them, God's merciful. As we said here this morning, God is merciful. He got Lot out of there. He got Noah out of there before the impending danger. That's why I believe that we're getting out of here before the rapture starts. That's I'm going to throw you my humble opinion. A lot of people may disagree, but I'm here to tell you, I believe we're out of this world before all this mess starts on there because of that. But it says there, he said, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Folks, if we'd be as diligent in finding and serving the Lord as we are things out here in the world, this church couldn't hold the people that would be here. Amen or oh my. Amen. Man, our diligence towards other things in this world, our diligence towards other things that we hold more important maybe than the gospel, than church. Listen, folks, we would all be happier and blessed people if we did that. Luke says this, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doeth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice for me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repents. Amen. Over one soul that comes to know him, and there's joy in heaven. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If we had that kind of diligence to see the lost come to know him, We would never hesitate to go out to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. God told the prophet Jeremiah this, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." All your heart. All your heart. Not just part of it. Like I said, he doesn't want part of it. He wants every bit of your heart. He wants every bit of it. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." And now listen to this. "And he is a rewarder of them that do" what? "Diligently seek him." Diligently seek him. God was willing for her to be saved. He showed her the way. The angel practically dragged her out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was praying and standing up for her. And despite all this, the word of God tells us that she still perished. She still perished. Genesis 19:23-26. "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of the heavens. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, that which grew upon the ground. But while his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." She was almost saved. How many of you know almost don't count? Almost saved. I heard it said that the distance between salvation and an eternity lost is from here to here. Whatever that is. Whatever it is to you. Why do you say that, preacher? Because, listen to me, you could have the knowledge up here and not have it where it counts in the heart. Lots of people have knowledge. They have knowledge of the Bible. They have lots of knowledge of the Bible. But you know what? Salvation's of the heart. Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The Bible is full of close people. Do you know that? Mark 12:34, Jesus talking to a scribe. "When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Not far, but not all the way. Over in Acts 24, Felix. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgments to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way, for this time, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." I think I told you this. I used to have a little bumper sticker that a guy at work got me, and I stuck on my bulletin board up work. It said, "Those that wait for the 11th hour usually die about 10:30. Then Agrippa in Acts 26. "King Agrippa, thou believest the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds." Lot's wife was part of the almost crowd. That's what she was. Don't we all know some of those folks in our life? Don't we all know them? Almost. Almost thou persuadest me. Maybe someone here this morning belongs to that crowd. Maybe you do. Maybe you belong to that crowd. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." What it says. The devil can be whispering to you just like he did Eve, you know? "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." You're young. You got plenty of time in your life, right? Yeah. You're young and healthy to die right now. Your life and how you want that. That church stuff can wait till later, right? But Jesus tells us a story of a man who was thought the same thing. "He spake a parable to him, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there shall I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast not much goods laid up for many years. take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. He said, remember Lot's wife. Now, like I said, it's kind of blunt. And at the time, it's kind of just like scripted, like not knowing what he was talking about. But I think if we look at it, we can see what it all boiled down to. What it all boiled down was, she did not want to listen to what the Word of God is. Didn't want to listen to it. All right, it's time to get a song, if you don't care, Belinda. She's coming to get a song. Let's all stand, if you would. If you have a need here this morning, please come.